Have you ever had a circumstance or a situation with your beloved animal? You know something's going on. You've done everything. You've spent so much money on different foods. You've taken them to three different vets that have said your animal's just fine. In my case, it's my beloved cat. And you know, but you just, this poor cat just stays in its misery because you cannot figure it out. Well, join us today as we explore how to tweak our intuition with Jody Jackson so that we can meet the needs of our beloved animals. And she comes to the table teaching us our responsibility and learning the language of the beloved animals. Did you ever think for a moment that that was your responsibility in communicating? I mean, we do it with human beings. We'll get a translator or whatever. Do we ever think that that comes with part of having an animal? And so I am Mary Roseman, joined by my co-hosts, Marcella Nitschke and Heather Wells. And we are welcoming Jody Jackson to our podcast today. And we are journeying into the vortex of.
Animal communication.
Yeah. So thank you for joining us, Jody. Shall we start off with understanding how you discovered that you had this gift?
I just want to say hi and thank you for
Hi.
having me. I'll start out by telling you it is our God-given gift that we are born with to do this. We all have it when we're born. It's why you see animals do so well with children or do so well with people with disabilities, because we have it. The thing is, we lose it. We lose it because of how we're socialized, you know? So different people, you know, there's different degrees of keeping it, or I don't want to say lose it because we never 100% lose it, but get rid of most of it, depending on how we're brought up. If we have people socializing around us, our parents, our friends, our family that are okay with it, don't think it's a bad thing. But on the other side, on the flip side, there are people that do think it's a bad thing, and because they don't understand it, so it's a fear. And they say, no, put that away. I don't want other people thinking that you can do this because it's how we look, and I don't want us to look like that, right? So
Yeah, was it cultivated with your family, your environment when you were growing up?
no. So what happens is, you know, I talked about, like, you know, here's this side of the spectrum, here's this side of the spectrum, but then there's the middle, right? Where you just learn a language, a human language, and you just don't realize it's there anymore, right? And that's me, somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
So I didn't realize it, but I did always know my love for animals, right? I grew up a loner, not having many friends, and I loved, loved, loved animals. And I was that typical kid bringing an animal home, going, can we keep it? You know, or walking down my street and seeing a dog in a driveway, I would say to the person, can I come up and say hi to your dog? But I still never thought anything. I just knew I loved animals. And then years later, maybe, like, I'm in my 50s now, so maybe like 10 to 15 years ago, I was at a friend's barn, and she said, I have this friend that I'm just dying for you to meet. You know, you guys would get along so well. And I was there because I love horses. And she said, I have this friend. She talks to animals, and I just know you would love to meet her. And finally, I went to the barn that day with her, and make a long story short, I sat down with her where they had other animals too. They had goats and chickens and sheep. And this goat was scared of us when we sat down. But she did something to make this goat comfortable with her. And the goat walked over to her, not me, but her. And I said, oh my gosh, how the heck do you do that? I want to do that. Well, that's when I learned. So this was way, you know, further down the road, you know, years older into my life. Two things it taught me. It taught me you could always learn something new. It doesn't matter how old you are. And the other thing it taught me was this is something, you know, we can learn. And I started taking animal communication classes from other people that she talked about, but she didn't feel comfortable teaching it to me. One is Danielle McKinnon, who is just fabulous if you want to, you know, look her up. And I learned how to do it. And that's when I learned that we all have that God-given gift when we're born. And we lose it, right? Because when you're learning animal communication, you kind of learn the background too.
Mm-hmm. So it's something that you learned. It's not something that you all of a sudden discovered, oh, I have this skill. You said we all have it. And the second you said, I want that too, that's when you open up the doors to go.
Yes. Because when you're saying, I want that, or even when you pray, right? Yes. No matter what religion, ultimately, what you're doing is setting an intention. And I am very into universal law. And that is exactly what you do to manifest. The first thing you do is you set an intention. So for me, yes, it was like put away for a long time, but I saw something and the universe said, you're ready for it, right? Because the universe always knows what's going on with us and everything is divine timing and knows what's best for us and what we want. So that was the universe saying, okay, you're ready for this. I'm going to introduce you to Sandra Mendelsohn, and who's got amazing books out there. You can look her up.
Now, there's some popular show going on these days. It's not a new show, but it's just airing right now. It's called The Pet Psychic. And it's Sonia Fitzpatrick, I think is her. Yeah. She was at Ellen DeGeneres, I think is her name. Uh-huh. Yeah, and yes. She's actually giving readings to people in the audience about their pets. That they. What do you know? Have you heard about the pet psychic? Or what are your thoughts on that?
I do. I know of her name. I haven't seen her. But, you know, it's kind of a small community. It's not, but it is, if that makes any sense. And what we choose to do with those psychic abilities are different, right? Because that's what it really is. It's telepathic communication, right? Mm-hmm. And if you look up what telepathic is, it's very simple. Tele is distance.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, so it's, and then the communication. So it's over a distance, like a telephone. It's no different. A telephone, a microphone right here, what we're doing with Zoom, it's the exact same thing. It's all energy and it's how we put it together. Mm-hmm. It's just to think outside the box, to think that could happen from not only human to human, but from human to animals. But like I said, we all choose to do something different, how we use it. That's how Sonia chooses to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And just a side note, Sandra was my friend that the other friend said, you have to meet. You have so much in common. And is the one I sat with when the goat came up to her. So she's one of my closest, dearest friends.
Oh, yeah. Cool. So you learn it from very good, like a very good source.
She's taught me a little, not a lot, because, you know, we all come from this space where we can do it, but it's an imposter syndrome, right? Are we good enough to do it with other people? You know, maybe I feel comfortable doing it with myself. So we all go through those baby steps. And I was with Sandra when that's where she was. It was a long time ago now. Mm-hmm. And I went through it too. You know, you want to feel like you're validated, right? That you can do it. So I'm not in the validation stage anymore.
How do you use your gift, both professionally and just on a daily basis?
Thank you for asking that. I choose to use it to bring humans and animals closer.
Ooh, okay.
Right? Notice I don't say owners and pets. That's like a class system, right? That means that someone is above the other. And that's just not the way it is. We're all on the same plane, right? And not only were animals here first before us, but there is so much more to them than food or props, like in horse racing, or pets, you know, to cohabitate with in our homes. There's so much more to them. They're healers. right? How good do we feel when we're with our dog and cat companions and horse companions or any other kind of companions, right? I mean, my gosh, look at these emotional support animals now.
I was going to say that. I said it's just in the last several years.
Yeah.
People have realized
they make us feel better. Right. They're here to teach us to be better humans. So I like to work with people to have them realize that. So they, because animal communication is about not feeling. Sorry, I get that backwards. It's not speaking. Animal communication is all about feeling. You feel into the space with the animal. And then what we find is we might have other ways to communicate with them too. We may close our eyes and see pictures. And the reason I say close our eyes is because you want to take away that sense. The more senses you can take away in our 3D world, the more you could tune into them, right? So if you close your eyes, you're taking away that seeing sense and can feel more. So you're feeling, but you might see, but that's behind your eyes. You might, in that darkness of having your eyes closed, see pictures. And that's what I do. I have a feeling, a knowing, and sometimes I see, which has helped me with the type of animal communication that people have wanted to know about their horses in the past. So you learn so much from just communicating with them. You learn how, like I work with horses more, you learn the softness of the animal, the feeling of the softness of the animal, and it makes you feel comfortable and it makes you relax. And you see how you best communicate. Do you see pictures? Do you hear? You might smell what they smell. You might get a taste of what they like best to eat. You know, they're communicating with you in very different ways.
Would you mind sharing a specific story of a communication you had with a specific animal or horse?
Sure. So one that I did with a picture was at that same barn with my friend who manages the barn and where I met Sandra. And I was waiting around for something. And she goes, feel free to go into the barn and, you know, just see if anything is up with anyone. So I went into a barn with a bunch of horses I did not know. And I said, is anybody willing to communicate? And one horse who was almost at the entrance of the barn, right, because it's a long area. And I went in and I said, may I share space with you? Because the thing you do with animals is you always respect them. If you think of an animal as a friend, you automatically know, right? You're going to respect a friend. You're not just going to walk into a friend's space. You're going to say, is it okay? Right? Especially a friend you don't even know yet. They're not a friend yet. You know, ask. So I did, and they were okay. And I got something where I said, I feel like we're going to have a more comfortable space together if I actually go outside the barn and sit down. Is that okay? I wasn't comfortable just standing there. They said yes. So that's exactly what I did. And I fell into my own comfortable space, how I do it. Everyone does it differently. And I sat there, and very quickly with my eyes closed, I got a picture of a horse right across from me in the paddock there behind the paddock fence. That's all I got. And I remember my teacher saying to me, I don't care how simple something is that you get, how much it does not make sense to you, you tell the person that's asking you to do it what you got, no matter what. It could be crazy to you. It could be nothing to you, which this really wasn't much to me. But I remembered her saying that, Danielle McKinnon, and I did it. I went to my friend who was a barn manager, and I told her, and she passed it on to the horse companion. Well, I get a phone call saying this woman freaked out in a good way. And I said, what was I seeing for her? I can't imagine. And she goes, this horse was in her stall for 3 months now. not 3 months, 3 weeks on medications because the horse hasn't been well. And you saying that, telling her that picture you saw was telling her it might be time to finally let her leave her stall. She might be feeling better and go out. And that's exactly what she did the next time she was there. And that horse was so happy. Just so, so happy. So that was a really good validation for me, right? An indication to trust what I learned. That, because that didn't mean very much to me at all, a horse just standing there. Mm-hmm. The fact that it was standing in a different place was what let her know, you know, her communication. So I was thrilled. And I also do Reiki there. I'll go up and I'll do the Reiki there. And I was able to help with that, because where the pain is does not necessarily mean that's the same place as the root of the problem. So I'm able to help with that too. It's wonderful. It's an amazing feeling. So thank you for asking.
Thank you for sharing. That was a really, really sweet, cool story.
So how do you, let's say you have a beloved who human being who is very concerned about their animal, but their intuition, it's totally turned off. Or they're just not open to this part of it, but they're coming to you out of desperation. I mean, because I know in my own coaching, you have to allow them their journey. But yeah. You've got a situation where this animal depends on this human.
Yeah. Right. So let me preface with, I have not had that situation before.
Okay.
But I have had the situation where I've been with people that aren't open to it.
Okay.
You're absolutely right. You let them be on your journey, their journey. You meet them wherever they are. So I try to come from it from a different way. One things that animals will try to teach us, if we're not getting it, is they might get sick because they're mirroring you. Animals many times more than not mirror us. But I've learned how to do this, and hopefully you have, is learn how to be present and realize what's going on with us, right? Most people aren't present, not because it's a bad thing, they just haven't been taught. You know, we're just not that, again, the way we're socialized is not taught to be present. So I try to do that with them and be present and see where they are. And sometimes that won't get me there either, because they don't want to go into their own selves. It's very humbling, right? To see where we are and find something we're not going to like that we're doing. But ultimately, that's like I call a storm we have to go through to get to the other side, to understand and to know what to do better, right? It's awareness. My coaching is going to come out. You have an awareness, and then you reflect on that awareness. And then you have more clarity with what you should do with that reflection. So one, they have to be able to go there. If they can't go there, I can't attach myself to whatever outcome I'm going to have with them, right? And that can be hard, right? You want to help them.
Can you articulate that to the animal, to the pet?
Oh, I don't have to. They already know.
Oh, okay. Good point.
Yeah. Huh. The pets know, and sometimes it scares people, but there's nothing we hide from our pet companions. Okay. There's nothing we can hide from them. They know everything about us, everything. Yet the thing is, they work from unconditional love. So it doesn't matter. They're not judging us on those things. Mm-hmm. They love us anyway. And they're trying to help us. So it's us not getting it from them, and there's nothing they can do about it, and they certainly don't attach to the outcome.
I'm a cat lover. I want to say to you that unconditional love from a cat is not necessarily what I experience. I have a beloved, and he's not living with me anymore, and it's tearing me apart because my daughter moved out, right? And I know what I know. So there were three of us in the house, and animals always bond with me, but he was very prickly because I was not around as much as the other two. And mm-hmm. he would let me know my presence wasn't there enough for me to be, you know, met, you know what I mean? Because I wanted this attention from him and I'm loving on him and everything. And he was just like, uh-uh. And I find with cats, I love their personalities. I wonder if you find a difference in animals, because I'm the cat lover. I'm saying the cats are the best, yada, yada, yada. They got the person more personality. they love dogs. And they have
wonderful. I have both, actually. I have cats and dogs.
Really?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And so, I guess I would just want to know your perspective. You're the cat lover. And each one of my fur babies have been, they're just so unique and different as children are, you know, with their personalities. And I've had some that will run away and that's okay, or find a new home. I get it. I get that I may not be the perfect match for you. I just love that. However, I would also say, you know, some of my, like Floyd, he has, sometimes you can't tell when he's sick. And I'll have that little mm-hmm. and go, we're taking you to the vet anyway. Yeah, he had these issues, which is interesting, GI issues, as did Clover, my kitty, before him, because my daughter had acute
as
GI
your daughter,
issues.
I was saying that.
Well, I've heard about a lot of dogs being, cats being diabetic, because diabetes is just so common now. So do you think
like
that
they're medically empathic or something?
I think you said something like animals mirror your illness too.
Yes, they can. Yeah, when they're trying to get something across to you, they can do that.
Dogs are just
they're more prickly. Yeah, a hound.
Oh, yeah,
love.
Yeah.
Them.
So I can tell you, not from my own experience, but from learning from other animal communicators, that animals' personalities that come through to us are just like humans. There's different ones.
Mm-hmm.
There's different personalities. So your cat that you were saying was prickly, there was a reason for that. If you talked to the right animal communicator that had talked to that cat, you would have found why they were prickly. Because by the same token, a possibility that could have happened was they got across to you why they were prickly, and you could have gotten across to them through the animal communicator that there was possibly something you would be willing to change for them, and this cat could have turned into jelly like that. Because there's a reason they're that way. They've had something go on with them making them that way. And you could say to them through an animal communication, you're safe now. I'm not going to do that to you. All I want to do is love you. And once the animal gets that through animal communication, they can calm down. And that could be any animal.
Jody, you talked about the communication being both from the human to the animal and from the animal to the human. So it's about tuning into what they're saying. But when it goes back to the animal hearing or feeling what we are telling them, is that must be something that happens more often, right? Because the animal doesn't have to train itself, doesn't have a skill that it disregarded and thought it was impossible. So does that mean that we should be talking to our animals all the time, knowing that they understand everything we say, feel, whatever, even when we say verbally or?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I'm coming from my heart hearing you say that, because they want respect from us. They accept that we put them on a different playing field and a lower class, if you will, from us. They accept it because they're unconditional love. So you are showing them respect if you just talk to them. Come in the house at the end of the day and say, oh, I missed you so much. Thank goodness you live in the moment. And I know you're happy that we're here together now. That's another thing. You can let them know that you understand how they think. I'll walk down the street. You know, I'm in the city. I'm in New York City. And I still have the animals coming to me, though. It doesn't matter. When I had a big smile on my face out my window right here. You can't see it, but I have a closer one right here. And two starlings, as soon as I came into the room, flew to my fire escape. And they just sat here. And I put my hand on my heart and I went, oh my God, you're making me so happy right now. You obviously know that I'm about to have this podcast right now. You are making me so happy. You're letting me know I'm doing the right thing by showing up. So thank you. I'm constantly thanking the animals. When I walk down the street and I hear the sparrows are always in this one spot with these vines crawling up the building. And they just love it there. And I hear them sing as I pass by, go to the store, and I let them know, thank you for being there. Thank you for getting me out of my head every time I pass you by from hearing your song and putting me in the moment, in the present with you. Thank you. And I'm just thanking them for every little thing that they do wherever I see them. A dog is walking past. I'll thank them for seeing them, for being, them putting me into the moment. And they'll want to come up to me, but like you were saying earlier, Mary, the person doesn't get that, why they want to come up to me. So I'll just say hi in my head and we'll go on our way. Or if I see that they're really making more of an effort to stop with me, I'll ask the person, do you mind if I say hello to your dog? And they'll either say yes or no. And if they say yes, I'll share some space with them for that moment and say, I won't forget this moment in time and thank you. And you just go a little deeper with the animals.
Right.
I would say circling back to whenever I walk my dog, and I usually walk him on this nature trail, and I cannot tell you a time where I passed a child that the child, it's like a magnet. They are just drawn. Can I pet your dog? I mean, every time, every time.
Because if children are let, if their, parents are okay with them being that way and encourage that it's okay to do that with other animals, they're instilling that communication that can grow within them,
Yeah,
and I love seeing that
it's usually
too.
the sweetest transact, like it's just the sweetest communication.
Well, Eckhart Tolle calls dogs masters of being, and all animals like frequency holders. And I believe
Absolutely.
that they are here with us just
Raise our vibration.
yes, they petting your dog is a moment, it's a meditation, right? Even if it's just as
Yes.
short as just like holding their head and or kissing them or whatever.
And Mary, you get it all the time with the cat purrs. That is a those that purr is a certain
That's a
vibration
vibration.
that it's constantly putting us in, right? That feeling, especially, oh my gosh, if they're touching us, if they're on us with that purring.
During my healing energy sessions, I always have to make sure, is the client okay for the cats? Because the cats come for the energy. They usurp it up and
Well,
Floyd
they're
does.
helping the healing.
And he doesn't, like if anybody shows up at the house, he hides, except when it's time for energy sessions. Then he comes out.
Yeah, I encourage people to have their animals there for one, the naysayers, they're going to see it. And two, to that, that healing vibration they're giving you. They're doing it in another room, but to see it is a step above. I know when I do these horse workshops that I do now, I'm doing these beta horse workshops with their humans. And at the point where I encourage them to do the workshop around the horses, could be on the other side of a fence or something, but around them where we could see them. And when I get to a point where I'm having the people that are attending the workshops go into, fall into this space they need to be in of feeling rather than the other senses. Fortunately, I had my eyes closed too, and the fortunate part is somebody that wasn't doing it took a picture of Elliot, the horse that was closest to us. And Elliot was like a ball of jelly. Once we got done with it, I was just so glad to be told that and to see that, because my friend Rebecca, his human partner, said he never lays down like that at that time of the day, ever, ever, ever. So it's just really nice for other people to see that, to see what they have helped with and what the animal is willing to do in our presence that they don't normally do. And it's a validation. It helps you to go deeper, you know, keep doing it, and, you know, to be able to see your animals do that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's wonderful.
Wow. Yeah. This is cool. I shared that the cat went with my daughter when she moved out. I have not been animal-less in decades. And so I've just been putting out that vibe for the critter to find me.
They find you. Yeah. They find you.
Yeah. So I'm ready too. So come find me, you know. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if you're doing, are you doing that too, Mary, by any chance?
I'm feeling it's a kitty cat.
That's great. That the fact that you know that. You have that natural knowing.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never intentionally purchased a cat, or would the cats find you?
Absolutely they do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I used to joke, my dog, he's 17 right now. So, but when he was, I could write a book on all of his adventures because he was a runner. So he would always escape. And I think we had, you know, he was a pointer, and I always wonder, like, where did you come from? Why, what do you know, you have this house here that with love, but for some reason he always had this urge to run free, you know? But I would also laugh. I would never worry too much because it was like he would run, and then he would find somebody, and it was like he would go up to him and say, can you call my mom now? I'm done, you know? And so I would always get a phone call, like, in my mind, I thought, he's done, he's at his on replay time, and now, can you call my mom now so she can come get me? But I had another situation where one time he did, and we would find him within an hour or so. I mean, I would try to look for him, and I remember always trying to use my intuition to figure out where he would be. But there was one time where he was gone overnight. And so I get a call from, I think it was like the Humane Society, and they said, we have your dog. And it was 40 minutes away from our house. And she said, this lady brought him to us, and all she told us was these two men had him, and she had a bad feeling and went up to them and took your dog. And he's not a little dog. I mean, he's a medium size. Wow. And I said, she had a feeling. I said, what woman would just go up to these two men and say, I have a feeling that's not, you know? So she said, oftentimes people will get dogs for bait dogs or, mm-hmm. But she also mm-hmm. said, she goes, you know, dogs have guardian angels, mm-hmm. is what she told me. She goes, you know, because I was like, who was this lady? She goes, I don't know. She just dropped them off and told this story and left. And she said, you know, dogs have guardian angels. Mm-hmm. And from this day, I was like, none of it made sense. I live in the suburbs. He was down in the inner city. I mean, none of it made sense.
Sometimes animals leave on purpose. You know, they're not only do they choose us, they choose us and then they're here for a reason with mm-hmm. us, right? Sometimes that reason is done, whatever they were helping us with, and they go on their merry way, and we're, you know, gut-wrenched, but that's the reason sometimes, you know, that they're never found, or, you know, there's basically always a reason for everything.
Right.
Oh yeah.
For
right.
everything. Yeah. Yeah. There's so much more than meets the eye, no pun intended.
The other thing when I walk on my nature trail, I oftentimes, and when I do, this is my biggest blessing, I see deer, and I have that internal or that telepathic communication with them. And the eye contact they make with me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm like, thank you. You're beautiful. Thank you for letting me be in your space. And very rarely do they run. I mean, they will cross my path. My dog might scare them, but if I can keep him, they make straight up eye contact with me and just keep eating. And it's but I always am so grateful for letting them.
Such a blessing,
they don't
right?
always show their presence. So it's a trust that they come out and actually, angels.
You know, one thing you all can do, I carry around with me a little pocket size book of animals and their meanings.
Oh, yes, I have that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can look
animals
it up.
Speak.
Yes, Penelope Smith. That's who I was trying to think of. Thank you. You said Actually, she's not, she does when animals speak, but there's another animal speak. But yeah, they have those little pocket sized books you could take around with you.
Oh, yeah, look at this
and,
book.
Yeah.
Ted Andrews wrote this, the spiritual medicine.
Yes, that's another very big one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much, Jody, for sharing all this fun, interesting things with us.
How can people find you, or do you have a podcast or a Facebook page? Or
The things I actually use most right now are, if they want to get in touch with me, it's at Linktree. And Linktree is my business name, which is Restore You Coaching and Reiki. So just all one, Restore You Coaching and Reiki. Instagram is Restore You dot Coaching and Reiki. Or I have a YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah.
Jody Jackson. It's at Jody Jackson.
We'll put them on the description of the then we can put them in the description so they can just click and, and find you.
And so, I don't know, I am walking away and with a whole new purview of, I think, respect bringing home for me, that I take this for granted.
Well, and you would, right? If you've not learned it before.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, the animals, you know, I have my beloved moments with them. I really did. But for the most, they were on my to-do list to make sure they were fed, that they had their outdoor, you know, that they were taken care of. But
I have a great thing for you to also take home with you, besides the respect. We all write those to-do lists. Make yourself a to-be list, who you want to be. And you can do who you want to be with your animals.
I like that.
And you can do that too. Yeah. And that will get you so much further in life in general. Because if, when you are the person that you want to be, the universe is all automatically going to want to align with you.
That's, so that's more like the intention part.
And do. Yeah. Yeah. Your intention for who you want to be. Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Thank you, Jody.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Welcome. Thank you for having me. This is fun for me too. And the pigeons say thank you too.
Yes. Oh, hello, pigeons.
So thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Don't forget to send us your comments.
Yeah. And if you like this podcast, consider following us. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love your feedback. Thanks, Jody. And until next time, loves, when we
journey into the vortex.
We hope you have enjoyed today's dialogue. Please do not hesitate to let us know if you have questions, suggestions, or simply want to connect. You can reach us through our website at journeyintothevortex.com, Facebook, or Instagram. We hope you will join us again as we continue this transformative journey into the vortex.